Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be right where we were this morning, right back to where we were this morning. And I'm going to start with the verse where we ended this morning, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Now, that wasn't the birth of Jesus. That was the birth of John the Baptist. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That's a crazy thing. We can't even get into that. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Father, would you bless now the reading of your word into our hearts, into our minds, that God, we will ponder, as Niles quoted from Luke 2:19, Mary pondered these things and kept them in her heart. Father, we need to ponder what your word says to us tonight, and I pray that you will help us do it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I preached to the older folks about being old, and I included myself in that. But I issued a challenge to the young people to raise up in this day, to recognize the move of God, to get involved in it, to not take it for granted. I have so many things come into my mind, and I know I've told them all before. I told y'all this. I preached in Britt Zion, Church of the Nazarene, Britt, Iowa. It's a little bit smaller church, but they were sitting there. This is just a great example of what I'm talking about. I knew a lot of people in that church. A young couple, they had a son about my son's age. This was many years ago, so they were young together. Used to be at camp meeting all the time. So I knew them. There were some older folks that were very well known on the district, so I kind of knew them. I went there. And for a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday, just a kind of a weekend, not revival, but encouragement time. And on Sunday morning, I'm sitting on the platform with the preacher, and the church was flat down the middle aisle, older folks on this side, younger folks on this side. I mean, if I'd ever seen a divided church, man, that was it. And this one man, Friday night and Saturday night, he walked up to me. Friday night, I didn't know the story, but Friday night he walked up to me and he said, "I'll never forget 1972. We had a revival. Oh, God came. Our church shot up to 200 in attendance. Woo! Oh, it was good. 1972. That's my glory time." They were running about 80. So they'd gone from 1972, 200, down to about 80. The preacher that was there, who is now in heaven, by the way, he was a Zacharias who wasn't ready to be old yet. He had me come to try to encourage him. Saturday night comes. I go in. We had a dinner, and then I spoke. Same man walked up to me, and he said, "Pastor, I want to tell you, 1972. I was like, surely he knows he told me that same story last night. He told me the same story again, exactly the same. And so I listened to that again, and I was like, he's not going to do anything in this day and age because it's not 1972. I don't know what year God met you, but if you think it's still that year, you're stuck in the past. So Sunday morning comes around, and I'm up here, and here's this divided church. All these young people, everything I was saying to them, they were just lapping it up, going, yeah, 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 yeah. And the old people were going. In the South, we have an expression. You look like a mule staring at a new gate. Do they talk like that in Iowa? I don't know how many mules you have. But if you put a gate where there was a fence, a mule just looks at it like, what's that doing there? And that's how they were looking at me. They were like, I don't want to hear that. Talk to us about 1972. So I got up and I walked over on this side to where the older folks were. And I said, I don't know. And I mean, the poor fella, I know he was a really nice guy. Well, in fact, I know it even more. But I said, I don't know. Some other time, like, I don't know, 1972. And boy, he lit up like, yeah. I think he forgot that he had told me that twice. So I talked about that. And I said, you know, if you think it's going to be 1972 again, you got to get over that. Because it's now, and we got to go. And so I kind of preached to them a little bit about that, and then I'd go over on this side, and I'd talk to them a little bit, because they were the great divide. The chasm was fixed so that those on this side, even though they wanted to, couldn't go over there, and these could not. I mean, it was bad. The preacher called me a few days later. Well, I found out they had a van, and I found out that it was in a garage at somebody's house, and I said, well, do y'all use it? I mean, Britt, Iowa, if you've not been there, is a pretty decent-sized town. And I said, do y'all pick people up on the van? They said, no. I said, well, what do you do with it? Well, I said, really nothing. We bought it thinking we'd pick people up. I said, well, you know what I'd do? I said, I'd park it up on the square, up on an intersection of business, so that the name of the church and the address was easily seen. And they said, well, we don't have the name of the church painted on our van. I said, well, that's really, really awkward. So that's, and I found that out during the week. So that Sunday morning, I said, you know what I'd do? I'd paint the name of my church and put the address on the side of that van and go park it, even if you weren't going to pick people up. I'd park it where people, it'd be like a moving billboard. A couple of weeks later, that preacher called me on the phone and said, we've had breakthrough. I said, what is it, brother? He said, 1972? I said, yeah. I don't even know what his name was. He called me and said, I'm going to pay to have the van painted with our name and address. Break to him, that was a breakthrough right there. Because he said, it can't be 1972 anymore. It's got to be whatever year. I don't even know what year it was, probably 15 years ago. So, we cannot be in a church where we pit the old against the young, the new against the old, and change and whatever else we think that means. Older folks, see, this morning I challenged the young. Tonight I want to challenge those who aren't as young. My grandson tonight asked me, is he in here? Case? He's right there. Case asked me tonight, said, do you think Paul lived to be 100? I said, I don't know. He sure could. I said, do you know how old you would be if Paul lives to be 100? And he said, how many years is it? I said, 9 more years. I said, you'd be 14 years old. He said, that a long time. I said, yes, it is. He said, how old is Grandma? I said, Grandma don't want to answer that question because I'm not dumb. And I told him, well, he had something on the computer, and it had 56. And he said, are y'all older than that? And I said, yes, we're both older than that. See, age is a perspective. Do you agree with that? Age is a perspective. There's some people who aren't that old, but they act old. And there are other people who are very old and just refuse to act it. So they're young at heart. Zacharias was not only old, but he was old at heart. He had a pat excuse ready. If anybody wanted him to do anything, he would say, for I am an old man. And that limited everything about him and what he could do. So what that angel said to him now, he was supposed to get it and understand it and go, woo, but he didn't. So verse 18, Zechariah said, how shall I know this? In other words, can you prove it to me? Because I'm an old man. He threw out number one, his doubt, and number two, his excuse. Do you ever get tired of doubting and excuses? No? Okay. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about a man. He's not really a man. He's a fictional character. Some of you don't know who he is, but I think we have like a 1-minute video. Listen, if you can hear it, listen carefully and see if you can get this.
Good morning, Pooh Bear.
If it is a good morning, we tried to help.
However,
yeah, now, did I get your tail back on properly, Eeyore?
No matter. Most likely lose it again anyway.
Poor dear. You know, I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me. It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it.
Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey.
Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
I didn't have to make that. I found that. Depressed, sad, nothing ever goes right, end of the road, another Saturday night at my house. I see Cindy back there. She can attest that what I'm about to tell you is true. On Tuesday, Cindy and Chuck and Giselle and I were together. We went down to Missouri, spent some time in the car, and in the process of that, Chuck told me he wasn't going to be here today. And I said, oh, Chuck, wrong Sunday to be gone, man. Woo, about ran right off of there. I would have landed okay. Y'all should always have cards ready to hold up tens for my landing, because I'll stick it like my head into that floor. Did I not say that, Cindy? Did I not say that? You don't want to miss this Sunday, Chuck. You don't. This Sunday's going to be good. I said that on Tuesday. How could I know that Sunday was going to be good on Tuesday? Because I expected it to be good. I anticipated it would be good. I had a little bit of a clue of what it was going to be about. I had a little bit of a thought that God was going to come. And all of it came true and more and more and more and more. I'm just messing with Cindy and Chuck right now, but I'm telling you, if Saturday night at your house is, he sounded like Jim Deal to me a little bit. Did you hear that? Another Saturday night. Nothing's going to be any better. Man alive. You know what? I have three great days, I will tell you. And I actually have about 7 a week, pretty good days. But I love Tuesday morning. I start my day over at CD's. We break open the bread. We eat, but I'm talking about the bread. I have food that you know not of. We get in the Word. We study together. We pray together. I leave there. I come here. At 8:30, we have another prayer meeting. Tuesday morning fires me up for the week. Wednesday night, we have a Bible study back there. Woo! I love it. I love Bible study. I can't wait to get here. Can't wait. And then all week long, I'm waiting until the next Sunday. I'm just waiting for the next Sunday to come. And this Sunday did not disappoint. Tonight, well, I got to get on preaching this because we got to go. If you're not anticipating Sundays, believing for something unusual, it's a good chance that no matter what else happens, you will not get fired up on Sunday. For you, it'll be mundane. You'll say, my gosh, it's afternoon again. I get so tired of that guy running over. Man, I'd love one time to go to a basketball game, have the buzzer, the home team shoots a shot, ties it up at the buzzer, and people go wild, and one person, one time, I'd love to see him go, I'm sick of overtime. If you can't get this game wrapped up, I'm out of here. Just one time. We're excited for overtime in a ball game. I get a little excited for overtime right here. Especially if God's moving. If God is saying, where are you going? You go, I ain't going anywhere, God. Woo. But see, we can get a little set. I ain't talking about old people now. But we can get a little set in our ways. Wow. See, Zacharias was supposed to get what the angel said to him. He gave the excuse, I'm an old man. What did he mean? The guy told him, you're going to have a baby. All of his adult life, he and his wife have prayed to have a baby. Now the angel comes and says, whoo, good news, you're going to have a baby. And he goes, you're going to have to prove that to me because I'm an old man and my wife is an old woman. He said it very politely. She's well advanced in years. And I had to think about that. I held my grandbaby today, walked her around. I love it. I love having a grandbaby. You know what makes them grand? They have parents, darn right. When they go to crying, yesterday it wasn't such a great day. I was holding her yesterday too. She was like laying right here. All of a sudden, you know how when there's a lot of love flowing and you just get that warm feeling, it ain't always love flowing. I gave her immediately to her grandmother. I said, this baby's wet and needs fixing. Here. Grandpa did his part. I held her. Now I got a great big wet spot on my shirt. I got to go change shirts. And I believe Zacharias was running through some of that in his mind saying, man, see, I'm an old man, angel. The last thing I need is a baby waking me up in the middle of the night when I'm trying to get my beauty sleep. Warm in bottles. Y'all people, y'all make me sick these days. How many of you had a baby in the, like, 70s or 80s? How many of you ever changed a real diaper? That's what I want to know. How many of you, now, we thought we were uptown, you know, we were rich young people. We had a deal that it was a little pouch and you plugged it in the cigarette lighter. How many of you know what those are on a car? And you put the bottle in and it warmed it up in the car. Woo! You could go anywhere with a bottle warmer. Nowadays, they walk up to the sink, run a little water in it, shake it, and bloop. Not in those days, buddy. You had to boil them things in water first. Then you had to put the little thing on, I won't say that word, but upside down with a little cap. And oh, man, I'm thinking Zacharias is thinking that's too much work. That wasn't it. He didn't think he was going to have a baby at all. He didn't care about the work it was going to be. He didn't believe it. Doubted that it could ever happen to him. And there are some people, and they can sit in the room, and they can watch, and they can listen, and they can hear testimony after testimony. They can see it. They can watch people up here crawling all over these altars, and they can stand there with their arms folded, and they'll say, they're just filled with emotion. There ain't nothing to that. Inch deep and a mile wide is what I think about it. But you won't jump in it to find out how deep it is. Out of sheer fear that you'd go under. And the current would begin to wash you downstream and you'd be a little bit out of control. So you stand on the bank and say what you think it is when in fact you don't know. I tell you guys, it scares me to death and I don't even like saying it. But it's killing our churches today. When people wouldn't let a move of God happen for fear, what's it going to mean to me? What am I going to have to do? What does it mean? It ain't about changing diapers, but I'm going to tell you spiritually, changing diapers is not fun. Are y'all with me? I ain't talking about changing diapers. I'm talking about dealing with the mess of people and their lives because they're new and they don't know. All right, so if Zacharias was supposed to get what the angel said, then my question is where did the angel get what he said that Zacharias should have gotten? So that's point number two. Let's go back to Malachi. That's not the last book written in the Old Testament now. It's just the last one there, but he's actually further back. This is what he said. Behold, I send, this is Malachi 3, 1 and 4, 5 and 6. Chapter 3 and 4, verses 1 and verses 5 and 6. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's what the angel said. He was quoting from Malachi. Did you hear it now? He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people ready and prepared for the Lord. The angel was quoting the Old Testament to a priest. Zacharias was knowledgeable in the word, and yet when the angel told him that you are going to bear the forerunner of the Messiah, Zacharias said, you're going to have to prove that to me. I just can't believe it. Wow. I wonder, in the church in 2017, if we have a faith issue. You think that's possible? Do we have a faith issue? I'm talking about people. I'm trying to remember. I'm going to say the first time, well, I went to the altar hundreds of times that I don't even count. But in 1975, probably 1974, I went to the altar pretty serious. Could have been 75, in that range. That's too long ago to remember. 75, I turned 18. I do know that. I went on a rampant sin rampage. In 1976, found myself back on my face. This time, not weeping like I had wept many times, but in a very serious conversation with God, and he said, son, I'm tired of playing games. It's time for you to get serious. Y'all all know this, just very quickly. I worked on a riverboat with a bunch of very wicked people. I worked with a bunch of very wicked people because I was one of them prior to that night. And I went back on that boat. I caught it in Louisville, Kentucky. I flew to Louisville, went down to the boat store where they took the groceries out. And I got off the plane. It was, y'all know, I'm talking about in the 70s now, the Hare Krishnas, you remember them? They come running up chanting, dinging their little dingers. And no, it wasn't, that ain't how they did it. This guy walked up and said, hey, I want to give you a book. And I looked, and it was a woman with about eight arms, you know, and I was like, I want to give you a book. And I had a Bible. I said, I'll trade you even up. He said, I don't want that book. And I said, no, I don't want that book. I got boldness in like one day. And I walked on that riverboat carrying my Bible in my hand because I was going back a very different person than I'd got off that boat. I mean, a very different person. I'm looking for some people, and I'm saying, you know, the older folks, if nothing else, we need to be praying for our younger folks to get that boldness to take Jesus out there. But there is another message. The angel had another message for Zacharias. Zacharias says to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is well advanced in years. And I love this. I love this verse. The angel answered and said to him, and I'm going to read it like I think he said it. I believe when Zacharias said to that, I mean, this angel is the announcement angel. That's what Gabriel does. He makes announcements for God. He comes into the temple, goes into the Holy of Holies where Zacharias, or at least the holy inside the inner temple, the inner court, and Zacharias is in there burning incense. And all of a sudden, buddy, an angel shows up. I'm telling you, when an angel shows up, you are supposed to say, here I am, Lord. Woo! What have you got for me? And the angel gives him those great quotes of Scripture and announces to him, God has heard your prayers. You're going to have a son. He's going to be Elijah in his day. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Woo! Buddy, I couldn't wait to get here to tell you. And Zacharias goes, yeah, well, I don't know. Eeyore all over the place. Well, you know, I've heard that line before. We've had those false alarms. Nothing's ever happened. I'm an old man. You're going to have to prove it to me. Gabriel says, apparently you don't understand. I can prove it to you. I can kill you right now and your wife will still have a baby. How about that one, big boy? Now, No, that's not what he said. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Man, I don't think you're understanding what I'm telling you. The God who speaks worlds into creation sent me to tell you, you and your wife have been chosen. Man, but I tell you what, you want proof? When you walk out behind that veil, you're not going to be able to talk. And you're not going to speak for 9 months, big boy. We'll see if you believe me by then. Do y'all know what 9 months means? Okay, just checking with you. Zacharias went out and couldn't talk. I think he already knew before that happened. I think if he'd been real cautious with his words, he could have said, okay, I'm all in, buddy. Let me be able to speak. But too late. This is what he says. You will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words. Friends, faith is killing us. No. Faith isn't killing us. A lack of faith is killing us. When you say, God can't come here, we're in southern Iowa. Our church is sitting in a cornfield. There are no really roads coming here except the ones that end right here. We're the end of the road. Just go. That's Eeyore. I can't remember the name of it. Just look that up every day if you have to. Another Saturday night at my house. I'm not expecting anything to be any different tomorrow than it was today. Not much of a house for not much of a donkey. Were you getting all that stuff? We don't deserve God. We don't deserve for His favor to come on this church. Why? I'm really wondering why we do. I'm wondering how we got here. Do you think God had us put all these purple seats in here so that I could look at the color purple? I don't know anything about Prince, so I'm not going to start singing the color purple. And all the people said, amen. Because you did not believe. I told you this morning, I'm going to tell you again tonight, revival lasts as long as you want revival. If really and truly, because I'm going to tell you, as hard as it is to believe, there are people who do not want to come to church and see people get excited. Once in a great while may be all right. But are we going to do that every single week? Are we going to have people coming down here and laying in the floor? That is so uncouth. I'm going to close with this little story. Let me see if I have anything else I need to say. Yeah, I'll get there. I won't forget. The Philistines had captured the ark. God was killing them. So they tied it to a wagon and slapped the donkeys or oxen and ran it off, and it landed at somebody's house. I'm making this up, so you'll have to go back there and find it. So it lands at this guy's house, and he starts getting blessed like crazy, and David says, we got to go get the ark. So they go down there, and they put it on a cart, and they had a real clean, shiny, nice new cart. It was too shiny. They washed the oxes and had everything really, really nice. But do you know how the ark was made to be carried? With poles and men. And David says, no, we won't do it that way. We'll do it the way David wants to do it because he's the king. So they did it. And they were walking on the road, and one of the ox stumbled, and one of the servants, good intentions, he grabs the ark to steady it and falls dead right there. And David said, what am I doing? I'm not doing this the way God wants. I'm doing this the way I want. So he went home in shame. He went home in disgrace. He went home as a failure, and he sought God's face. So they went back, and they would count so many steps and sacrifice an animal and pray. And he would take so many steps, and they had these people with them, the timbrels, the tambourines, you know. And boy, it just got a little too wild that day. They got to shaking the tambourines. How many of you have ever seen the Salvation Army do their tambourines? Have you ever seen them with the streamers on them and throw them up there? And you ought to just one time watch people that know how to deal with tambourines. If you don't, I mean, you just think, like, that's how I would do it. But these people knew how to do tambourines. And David got a little excited. He had on a linen ephod, which, by the way, musicians wore linen ephods. It was like wearing a T-shirt. Because when they did worship, they got into it, and it was sweat. And it was better to have a linen ephod than an overcoat. He shucks her down to the linen ephod, and he starts going, shake those tambourines, boys. Shake those tambourines. And they got excited, and they started shaking the tambourines a little more. And pretty soon, they're going up the road dancing in the street. Oh, we couldn't have any of that, could we? Could we, Carol? Could we have a little dance on the part of the preacher? Her sister thinks I dance up here. I said, you should have seen me in 1973. I can't go there. Oh, yeah, David. Yeah, I went to 1973 there. It wasn't a real good picture. So, they come into town. They get to the city. Now, his wife's name, it's a woman. His wife's name is Michal. It's a woman. She's looking out the window, and David, her husband, the king of Israel, is wearing his long T-shirt and nothing else. And he's jumping and spinning in the air and laughing, and all the people are having a great time because it's a crazy, crazy worship experience. And all the young ladies lying in the streets start to chant, oh, David, King David. And Michal goes, really? Why'd you do that? He comes in and he says, oh, what a day. Woo! We had church today. She said, yeah, I saw church. I saw you dancing in front of all the young maidens. You were just trying to get them to look at you, right? And he said, what? What are you talking about? She said, you were out there acting disrespectful. You were being crazy out there. He said, you thought I was disrespectful today? I'll be more so. I'll be more crazy than that. Because when God shows up, I'm going to show up. When God says, let's be crazy today, I'm not going to hide from worshiping God. And if you sit and you say, some young person, God forbid, runs up on this platform and wants to give a testimony, and you say, man, they just ruined church when they do that right there. We're going to probably run overtime today because that preacher, he will not shorten a sermon. You're right. But I'm going to shorten this one down. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? If God shows up and we get a little bit excited and you think that's not good, go read about Michal. She was cursed because of that. It wasn't good. God didn't say, yeah, yeah. You tell him. You tell him. She was wrong. This morning, I issued a call to young Samuels to hear their name called out to God, to run to where God is and say, here I am. Tonight I want to issue a call to some people who are not so young. My daughter-in-law, I've still got all these texts saved. She wrote me and I wrote her back. I said, there was a day I was all over it, but I'm old now. Duh! I said, I'm old now. She said, it's time for round two. So, when I hear the voice of God, I'm going to run to where He is, and I'm going to say, I'm here too. I don't want it to just be the young bucks. I want a few old people to get excited about Jesus. We can still change our world. That might be a cornfield out there, but this is holy ground right here. We can have church in here, and we can change southern Iowa and literally the world, because God has proven he will send people from all over the world right here to hear the message of Jesus. If you're over 30 and you want to get excited, I want you to get up right now. Over 30 first. Look around you. Some are still pulling, I know, that's okay. Can we lead? Can we lead? What? Just checking over here, that's okay. Can we lead older folks and bring the younger ones and not sit down and say, well, it's up to them? Younger than 30, I want you to stand up right now. All of us tonight, make this agreement with God. If you call my name, I will run to where you are, and I will say, here am I. Speak, for your servant listens. Father, send us out of here tonight with the Great Commission. Phil gave a great testimony. You urged him, you motivated him to share his faith, first of all in the church where it's safe, but then outside the church where it isn't always safe, and a man accepted Jesus. Father, we should be hearing those stories multiples of times every week. And I believe what you told me was, if we'll get radical out there, you'll be radical in here. Charge us up. Bring us in here and charge our batteries. Let us feel the love of the family of God, that we know that when we come here, others like-minded will urge us and encourage us, and it will be good. And then, God, we'll turn our face as Jesus set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. We will set our face to take you to a lost and dying world. Go with us now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you.